Okay, you kids just ate a huge lunch. Now, get into that swimming pool.
The worst mother in the world.
Thank you, kids, for all coming to Timmy's 8th birthday party. Who wants to try some of his new weed?
The worst mother in the world will not be presented at this time.
You're never gonna know unless you try it. So stick this dinner fork into that electrical outlet.
So that we may bring you the following peculiar podcast.
Look, that quicksand will take you down a lot faster if you struggle.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
My gosh, it has been.
Oh,
it
you
seems
me.
Like. It, oh,
Jesus.
Sorry.
Don't
sorry.
Sneak up on people like that.
I didn't think I was sneaking. I thought I was just initiating the conversation here. I didn't realize. I started. Were you asleep?
Yeah, I was doing something else.
Oh, well, you were
came
dozing.
Up on me. Yeah,
well,
you
I'm
need
sorry.
To wear a bell.
I just said it's been so long since we've done another podcast, and I'm sorry about that. We've got to fix this somehow. I don't know how, but
well, this is clear. It's clearly your fault. No,
I'm feeling like these podcasts are winding
it.
Down. Pretty soon, we're going to be doing one every 6 months or so. This cannot stand.
That's ridiculous. We go on a little sabbatical every once in a while, a little hiatus, whatever you want to call it, a little mental health break. It takes a lot out of us mentally to do
I just feel bad for those, what is it up to now? Larry, how many do we got now? Four. We have four listeners. And I feel bad for them that they're waiting and in bated breath and then... Mm-hmm. Their lives are pretty miserable until one of these comes along again.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I hope this is a bit of a salve for those.
Yeah.
Okay, let's dive into this really quickly. I decided, doing these obituaries is not necessarily a bad thing. I just take too long with them. So I'm going to run through them quickly.
I'm glad you discovered that. And you also told
me
that
12 years or whatever it's been. Yeah.
You also told me before we started recording that you were going to abandon your, you didn't like stick with your idea very long, but you were going to abandon your idea of sprinkling them throughout the podcast. Tell me what happened there. What's going
well,
on?
Well, I just,
for you
it's
there?
Too hard. It's too hard. Then I have to think about transitions all the time.
Yeah.
We could be talking about, Trump or something. And then all of a sudden I said, that reminds me, June Lockhart just died at the age of 100.
Right.
Which, by the way, she did.
She did.
I don't know. You know, I'm thinking our podcast is skewing older and older, but I don't know how many people and certainly youngsters would remember that there was once a show called Lassie.
Starring June Lockhart, Hugh Riley, John Provost as Timmy, and, of course, Lassie.
It was a collie, and what was interesting is Lassie, well, on TV, you know, this is the first instance of gender switching I've ever come across, which Lassie was supposed to playing a girl. Come here, Lassie. Come here, girl. Or whatever Lassie was a boy.
Yeah. I remember spotting that wiener a couple of times.
Oh, Pat!
But
know.
I never questioned it. June played the part of a farm wife named Ruth Martin. She was married to a guy named Martin, and she was, you know, pretty placid most of the time.
Here, Lassie.
Oh,
I'm so happy to see you.
But she would dispense some motherly advice to her kid, Timmy, played by a guy named John Provost. He was terribly devoted to his dog, Lassie, and Lassie would save him all the time from falling into a well or quicksand or whatever it was. And then Jim Lockhart.
Can I stop you there? You'd think at some point Lassie would just roll his or her eyes and go, you know what, dude? I don't have time for this crap.
Yeah, you're on your own, dude. God, you're a pain in the ass. Exactly. Can't you ever save yourself, you little twerp?
I did not sign up for this.
I'm just a dog. Come on. Hi. I'm only going to be around for 12 or 15 years. I can't be wasting time saving your pathetic life.
Look, Lassie, what am I going to do?
But she played the part June Lockhart did of Ruth Martin, who succeeded. What other actress originated the part of Ruth Martin?
Oh, I don't know. What could it be? Was it Nancy Reagan?
It's Cloris Leachman.
Why? What happened? It's not like Cloris Leachman croaked. I mean, she went on to a fantastic career.
Yeah, maybe she said, you know, this isn't my ticket to an Oscar. I think I'll take another gig.
Or maybe she got tired of Timmy and said, I'm done too. Yeah. I don't want to be his mother anymore.
And then June Lockhart also in the crazy show Lost in Space.
See, that's where I knew her. So Lassie wasn't really my show, but I grew up in the 60s, and we would race home to watch Lost in Space.
I love that show because it was so cheesy.
They didn't
have good special effects. They were lousy. And that's what made it a cult favorite, I think. June Lockhart, 100. Okay, quickly now. I said I would be quick about this. So
I know, and I'm ruining things here, but I have things that I need to clarify and comment on. I'm part of the problem.
I don't want you to stop doing that. Jane Goodall was like a death in the family to my daughter, Kate. She just loved her. 91, British anthropologist, primatologist, and a writer. And she wrote, one of her books was called My 30 Years with Chimpanzees of Gambia.
In the place where I am now, I look back over my life. I look back at the world I've left behind. What message do I want to leave? I want to make sure that you all understand that each and every one of you has a role to play.
She was 91 and just a wonderful and influential person who studied apes.
From your time working with chimpanzees, do you have a moment or an experience or two that you cherish the most, and why do you love it?
The wonderful old female, Flo, she had a six-year-old daughter and a brand new baby son. And when the son was about 8 months, just beginning to totter, he was curious and he came up to me where I was sitting on the ground. And his mother was a bit nervous. She followed behind. She kept her hand around him, but she allowed him to reach out and touch my nose. And, you know, considering she'd been afraid of me for so many months, this was a big breakthrough and very amazing.
Diane Keaton checked out.
Seems like old times.
79, actress, of course. Died of pneumonia, for crying out loud. But her movies are so many. Looking for Mr. Goodbar, Father of the Bride. A lot of Woody Allen movies. They actually were a couple for a while. But she won an Oscar for Annie Hall, which is still such a great movie. So much fun. And
my
favorite... what's your favorite scene from that movie?
I don't like Annie Hall. I'm sorry. I mean, you know? I love the la-di-da. I like to say la-di-da all the time, but I don't really like it because I'm not a Woody Allen fan, and I'm even more so not a Woody Allen fan because of him being Woody Allen. But yeah, I'm just have never been a Woody Allen fan.
You've assumed the charges against Woody Allen are authentic and valid, and I'm not so sure. I don't know.
I don't know either, but I just... Even if that weren't the case, I just never got into any of his. I just found him annoying and nervous and tiny and weak and annoying. Did I say annoying twice? Good.
Yeah,
I meant to say annoying twice.
And for my part, I just considered him a genius, a tremendous filmmaker, unbelievable wit, and a great writer, too. But so that's my opinion. He's one of my heroes, and I hope that the charges that he molested his daughter are not true, but he insists they're not, and I don't know.
Of course he insists they're not. Of course he does. Have you ever known somebody to go, yeah, I did it? No, they don't. They will always insist they didn't. Mm. I don't want to go down that road, but anyway, my
I guess what I'm saying is your bias against Woody Allen is based on that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Now I feel bad that I feel like I'm crapping all
goal.
Over your...
Yeah, I just wanted to make you feel bad.
I know, okay, now quickly. I feel bad. No, but hold on. I want to talk about this for a second because you're right. There are a lot of people who are this is why I was always, I think there's something wrong with me when I'm like, yeah, I just don't get it, or I'm not really. It's like the thing we have with the Three Stooges. That's not exactly a good comparison. Well, but my point is everybody has their taste and things that they like or appeal to them. He's not somebody I'm just completely hate watching on screen. I'm just not a fan of it. It's like, yeah, it's fine, I guess. It's totally fine, but I'm not. I'm sorry. I feel bad. Okay. Now I feel like I've disappointed you.
Well, it reminds me of the composer, Richard Wagner. German composer. No, seriously. He was a favorite of Hitler. Hitler loved his music.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, got it.
So because Hitler, by extension, Nazis liked his music, then we should hate it. Because rather than judge it as good music or not. And that's the way I feel about Woody Allen. Was his stuff brilliant, funny? To me, hilarious, brilliant. I wish I could write like him.
Yeah.
I wish my wit was as good as his. I don't know about the other charges against him, but does that diminish him as a creative influence?
I have something I want to recommend right here. This is a book that I read that addresses this very thing. It's called Monsters, A Fan's Dilemma. It is by Claire Dieterer.
Oh, I hate her.
Oh,
she's annoying to me.
Of course you do. But it talks about this very thing, that how do we reconcile loving the work of an artist who has committed these morally reprehensible acts and to the dismay of their fans, questioning, and I'm reading this from the thing, questioning if genius requires a monstrous quality. How do we navigate our feelings around that?
Yeah.
And it talks about people like Michael Jackson, Roman Polanski, Bill Cosby.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Yeah, all these people. So if you want to read a really great book that talks about this, about the moral ethical dilemma we have, it's great. Again, Monsters, A Fan's Dilemma. Fantastic book. I read it a couple of years ago.
Oh, that sounds great.
I'll send it to you as my gift.
Let's finish this list here.
Okay, but can I go back to Diane Keaton?
Oh, for crying out loud.
I'm sorry. I know you wanted to make this short.
No. It's okay.
So one of my favorite movies I've watched so many times was Baby Boom. I just thought she was so brilliant and funny in that movie.
Never heard of it.
Baby Boom, you gotta watch Baby Boom. Sam Shepard's in it. It's so good.
I never heard of it.
And it's from the 80s, and she plays a very high-strung corporate woman who inherits a baby. It is very funny, because she's like, I don't know what to do with this baby. It's very funny.
Your baby just barfed all over my boss.
This is not my baby. I went to Yale and Harvard. I don't have children.
And then my other favorite one that's going to be a little more difficult this year to watch is called, it's a Christmas movie called The Family Stone.
Never heard of it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Sarah,
I've heard of Sly and the Family Stone.
Hit it. Craig T. Nelson is in it. Sarah Jessica Parker's in it.
Oh, they're all in such annoying actors.
Malcolm McDermott, whatever his name
Malcolm
is.
Malcolm really McDermott.
Cute. Not him. What's his name? Oh, he's very cute. Claire Danes is in it. It's a really good one, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it's going to be a difficult watch this year because I watch it every year.
You don't have to be nervous.
I'm not.
They're going to love you. There's nothing harder than joining a family.
He intends to give that girl my mother's wedding ring.
Especially one like the Stones.
She's got this throat-clearing tick. It's like she's digging for clams.
Yeah, it's gonna be anyway, that's all I wanted to say. Because I'm not going to.
Yeah, see how close-minded you are? You were very open-minded about 5 minutes ago, and now Lisa,
you have a different list of Christmas movies than I do. That's all.
I know. We should just...
What are your Christmas movies?
We should absolutely compare those. Well, first of all, I love any movie that has to do with...
Necrophilia.
That's right.
I'm just guessing.
Can you try not to fill in the blanks when I pause?
Okay.
Can you avoid that if possible?
Yes, I will. I'll work on that.
No, anything that has to do with a Christmas Story. So the Charles Dick, I love any iteration of that movie. Scrooge, mm-hmm. Whether it's a comedy or the old ones with Alistair, what's his face?
Alistair Sim.
George C. Scott was, I mean, I love them all. In fact, I love to go to plays around Christmas time. I just love the story of being just so vile and horrifying and how somebody can turn that around. I don't know what appeals to me about that. So any of those movies are great. A Family Stone is one of
them. Can I interrupt you now?
Yes.
My favorite iteration of that is the Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol.
Isn't that good? I love Mr. Magoo. It's so good.
Be gone! Out!
Dragon. Busy body. A man can't get any work done.
One time on that TV show that I worked on called Almost Live, the Mariners were getting ready to possibly leave town. They were being sold. It's complicated. People would know the history. So I took the Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol. I took a clip of it and revoiced it to be discussing the Mariners situation. Here's a little excerpt from that.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, beat it. I tell you, we've decided to sell the team, and that's all there is to it.
Mr. Magoo voice could have used a little work, but
these people don't understand all the crap we Mariner owners have had to put up with. I think I'll go to bed. Who is it? I wonder who it could be. Oh, my goodness, Slade Gordon, what are you doing here?
But that's my favorite Christmas Carol movie.
Yeah. Well, all of those, even the Mickey Mouse one, they're all good. I just love them all. I think they're all good. Even the Jim Carrey one that's AI animated, it's really good. Jim Carrey.
The Grinch?
No. The Christmas Nightmare. What is it called? Carol.
Never saw it.
Oh, for God's sake. What are you doing with your time? I know. Watching the Three Stooges.
I'm just reacting. Every time you say something, I'm going to tell you I never saw it. That's just what I'm doing.
But you
right
don't
now.
Just say I never saw it. Like, oh, I never
I've
saw
never
it.
I've never seen
you
it.
Say it very, you say it very dismissively. Like, never saw it. Like, it's like just not even worth
it. It doesn't count because
attention.
I never saw it. Yeah, you're right. That is dismissive. People who just, they routinely say that, oh, I don't know, I never heard of it. And then that's the end of the conversation. Oh,
right.
So it's not important because you never saw it.
That's exactly what you're doing right now.
I never
right
heard
now.
Of the American Revolution. Oh, okay. Yeah. So it never happened. Okay, gotcha.
All right, I'm done. Carry on, sir.
Okay. D'Angelo passed away, 51 years old. R&B, soul singer, writer, producer, real name Michael Archer. D'Angelo, 51.
That's a good song. 51? What do you?
Pancreatic cancer.
Oh, jeez.
God, that's awful crap. Jeez, I hate that. Mm-hmm. And then a guy named Sam Rivers, who was a bass player, and I know you love this group, Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
He was 48 years old.
It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everybody sucks. You know?
And they don't even spell it right. That's what's the most annoying part about it.
No human contact. And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away.
And then Ace Frehley died, lead guitarist for Kiss. Did you like Kiss?
Kiss was was, it depended on, you know, I liked their ballads. Every rock group back in the day had heavy metal groups had to have some sort of a ballad. It was just their thing. So
yeah, and this wasn't one of them. And I try to make the midnight show.
I feel about Kiss similarly to the way I feel about Woody Allen. I'm like, yeah, okay, it's fine, but you know, I'm not going to go seek them out.
I like Kiss because they knew, yeah, we're good musicians, but how are we going to stand out? And so they got very gimmicky, you know, with putting the makeup on and all of that.
Correct.
That made them stand out, and I thought that was a brilliant way to make themselves get to the front of the line. Ace Frehley, good guitar, great guitarist, was 74 years old. And finally, this is a personal favorite of mine. When I started commuting from Bothell, Washington. You know, and I would drive past the Boeing's plant, and
which is south of Pike's Place Market.
Yes, and not too far from Nordstrom's. I would. It was about better than a 30-mile commute. So I'd listen every morning to. It was the morning feature on NPR radio.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about Susan Stamberg, who just passed away at the age of 87. And then later they moved to the afternoons. And so I would listen to that show on the way home, commuting back home, All Things Considered. Were you a fan of NPR and Susan Stamberg?
Oh, absolutely. All of it, yeah.
She was the first woman broadcaster ever to host an evening program.
So, gosh, what a how progressive.
Yeah. Didn't take that long, did it?
God.
But she was just really different, really great, distinctive voice.
There were no role models then for women. I had nobody to listen to and imitate. There was Walter Cronkite, you know, and there were a lot of men doing it, but no women. So I figured I had to sound like them. So when I started on the air, I spoke like this, and I lowered my voice and tried to sound as authoritative as possible, and sounded exactly that ridiculous. And Bill said to me, be yourself. But also someone who said, be yourself to all of us. That is, here's how we want to sound. We want to sound like real people, people whom you know, who you would talk to across a back fence someplace or outside your front door, as in a neighborly, conversational fashion, not the all-knowing voice on the top of the mountain, but instead someone like you, someone as curious and as bright, who may have access to more answers than you do that day, but would ask similar questions.
And she only retired last year. She died at the age of 87. She was on the air until she was 86.
I love that. Look, there might be hope for us.
Yeah.
We could still get an on-air gig. We could.
I think so.
We could.
Yeah. Let's plan on it. You know what? I just looked at we went on for about 19 minutes.
These
passages of humans. I wanted to keep it short. And
I know.
What? Yeah. So, but I thought all your comments were great, and so I that's not a rule that shouldn't be broken. Good job.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm watching this interview with the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear. Are you familiar with that guy or that name?
No, but I'm familiar with Kentucky. Do go on.
It's a very red and Republican state.
Yes.
A man died in Kentucky. Well, he should. Is lucky just to lay down through a bowling green night.
But Andy Beshear is a Democratic governor, and he's enormously popular there.
And so
naturally his name comes up a lot as a potential presidential candidate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to check this out.
I believe that our country has far too much of us versus them. Many neighbors yelling at neighbors, and it's gotten far too partisan. We've got to get to a place where we put common sense, common ground and getting things done. I think people want to be able to live their lives with stability.
So I go and I watch his interview, and again, Bashir, whom I'm very interested in, gave what I thought was just a very practiced answer to the question. Well, I believe that the American people, blah, blah, and I'm thinking, come on, man, talk like a regular guy. And so it made me imagine a recreation of, if you will, of what a conversation would be like if I met Andy Bashir on the street.
This is a dramatic recreation.
Excuse me, can you tell me where the nearest restroom is?
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Are you better off now than you were in 2024?
Well, actually, if I don't find a restroom pretty soon,
I believe the answer for many Americans is no, they are not better off.
I was just asking.
They are wondering if they're going to be able to have a secure job. Put food on the table.
Sir?
Afford health care.
Look.
And ensure a better future for their children and grandchildren.
I just need a restroom.
The bridges they drive and the roads, the schools they drop their kids off.
I gotta go really bad.
And whether they feel safe in their communities.
My pants don't feel safe.
Let us find common ground so we can move our nation forward before it's too late.
It is too late. Never mind.
This has been a dramatic recreation.
All right, Pat, are you done talking? Can I talk now?
Yeah, I'm done talking.
First of all...
No, I'm not. Yes, I am.
First of all, I wanted to say how delightful it was to see you and your lovely wife a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Let's mention that you came... You flew.
I'm trying to. I asked you if you were done talking. I'm trying to mention it.
All right.
It was lovely to come... to fly to beautiful Bend, Oregon. And thank you for driving and picking me up and letting me spend a couple of days with you and your lovely wife, who, by the way, crafted a delightful meal that you hilariously ran in and out of because of the sports thing that was on the television.
It was the Mariners in the playoffs, and as we know by now, they did not quite make it. They lost by a single run, or they would have been in the World Series.
I know.
Broke my heart.
I'm sorry.
I'm over it now. I'm over it now.
Okay. You are? You're okay? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it was lovely, and I needed to see you guys. I hadn't seen you in a while, and I realized the second day I was there, towards the end of the day, I realized I had not changed out of the clothes I had slept in the night before.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Sure you were. Yeah. I was like, but it was just so comfy. I think I just took up residence in one of your Barca loungers and just hung out there.
I remember saying, oh my God, our dogs, because we have two dogs.
Yes.
I said, oh my God, these dogs smell. And it turned out I was not blaming
the right person.
The right creature.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was lovely. It wasn't a bad smell. It was just a little sour.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, if you left the cottage cheese out on the counter for a week.
Yeah, you don't have to describe it much more than that. You can just leave it there if you want.
Ooh, that smell. Can't you smell that smell?
But anyway, that was really nice to see you guys. I appreciated staying at your house. And everything, you always make everything so cozy. And so thank you. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, it was fun having you. You're a delightful guest. And you didn't, and I was exaggerating about the odor. It was just slightly pungent. It wasn't any big thing, really.
And I brought you pie. I want to give a shout out to the Rumbly Tumbly Pie Company in Linwood.
She meant nothing to me, just another one-night stand. She was easy as pie, and I had her eating out of my hand. Had her eating out of my hand.
She has all these little refrigerators out front, so you can order your pie and then you drive up and she'll make it ahead of time. You pay for it and then it's waiting in a little refrigerator locker outside with your name on it. So I knew I was coming to see you and I wanted to bring some really gorgeous pies. So she made these little Marionberry pies and they were quite good. So
really good. Thank you for bringing those.
Yeah, I want to give her a shout out.
Got me eating out of her hand.
Hey, I saw, I heard a conversation yesterday, and I had to bring it up.
What?
It was two women, and it was they were older women. When I say older, they could have even been my age, that old. But this was the conversation, basically. And I don't want to seem like I'm a peeping Tom or listening into conversations, but you hear this stuff, and you can't ignore it.
Can
this
I stop is, you there? That's okay. Not what a peeping Tom is.
I know, but I don't want you to think I'm.
Don't say that. That's not even remotely what a peeping Tom doesn't use their ears. So you're being an eavesdropper. You're being a nosy Nelly is what you're being.
Eavesdropper is a better explanation. It reminds me of one of my favorite New Yorker cartoons.
Yeah.
Was a guy, a blind man, holding his seeing eye dog up into a window of a woman changing her clothes.
That's good. All right. So you're a peeping Tom and you were.
I'm an eavesdropper. That's a better term. You're right.
Nosy Nelly. And you were listening. What were they saying?
And they were saying, one woman was saying, it's just too big. It was too big. The other woman says, too big? I thought it was too small. No, it's too big. It's too big. I tell you, it's too big. No, it's too small. Too big. That reminded me.
What the hell?
That, I know. I don't even know what they were talking about. But it reminded me of this bit we did on Almost Live. My friend Bob Nelson wrote the bit. And the premise was that it was like a magazine show segment called Fascinating People. And so in this bit, I think it'll play okay on the podcast. Although you'll miss seeing Bob's great face. Mm-hmm. But the bit is that this guy runs a company, a cement company, where they have the slogan, no job too big or too small. And here's the bit.
And now it's time for
People, Fascinating People.
Hi, and welcome to Fascinating People. And today we're going to meet Buck Carlson. He is the proprietor of Carlson Cement, where for over 40 years their motto has been, no job too big or too small. Mr. Carlson, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Carlson, what I wanted to ask you...
Carlson Cement, no job too big or too small. No, that's too small. No, it's too small, I tell you. Lady, how am I supposed to do a job that small? I could never afford to do a job that... Okay, yeah, you do that. Bye.
That's fascinating. It sounds like she actually had a job that was too small for him.
We get idiots calling like that every day.
What I wanted to ask you, Mr. Carlson... Okay, sounds like you got another call coming in there.
Carlson Cement, no job too big or too small. No, that's too big. No, what did I just tell you? It's too big. No, it's... Are you listening? It's too... big. It's too big. Yeah, you do that.
That one was too big, wasn't it? Yeah. Mr. Carlson, what do you like the best about the cement business? I mean, if you had to, you know, pick one thing that you like the best about it.
I guess it'd be... The cement?
The cement. Okay, that makes sense. Sure. What's the thing you like the least?
The customers. Cement customers have got to be the dumbest people on the planet.
I wanted to ask you a question about your motto back there. Okay.
Carlson Cement, no job too big or too small. No, that's too small. No, it's way too small. Yeah, what's the other job? No, that one's too big. No, it's way too... Listen, it's just me and my lazy son Arnold here. How in the world are we supposed to do a job that big? Come on, think!
Boy, look at that. The time has just flown. Thanks a lot. Hope you'll join us next time on Fascinating People.
That was no interview. What, where are you going? That was too short. That was no interview. Come on.
Carlson Cement, no job too big or too small. Oh, for crying out loud, come on!
That's one of my favorite ones. He's
you
so
remember
funny.
That one.
He's so dang funny. Yeah.
Oh man, he was so great. Hey, unless you want me to shut up, I have
God,
to. Talk.
Why would I want that?
One of the.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. It's just something that okay. crossed.
No,
my
I do
mind.
Have something. So yeah, tell me one more thing. Unless you want to talk about breast implants, so you let me know when you want to chat about that.
Yeah. I want to talk about that in the year 2037, which will be a while from now.
Why? They're not going to hurt you.
No, no, I'll talk about that. But while I'm thinking of this, I very much in the news right now, and for the most part, we try to make these podcasts evergreen, so you could listen to them 5 years from now, and you'd still be seem to be somewhat relevant. But right now, and I don't know about you, and a lot of people, they don't care, but it made me actually tear up when I saw the East Wing of the White House being torn down during this week. Mm-hmm. It made me ill, physically ill, I swear.
Yeah, I know.
I couldn't stand it.
This morning, the historic 120-year-old East Wing of the White House reduced to rubble. Satellite images show the dramatic transformation from less than 1 month ago to now.
And maybe I revere that emblem too much of the there's some untouchable things in our American history, the White House being one of them, to me. Maybe I put too much stock in symbolism, and that just killed me when I saw that being dismantled for a stupid reason with no authorization other than, you know, I just want to do it. I'm talking about our magnificent president right now, for a ballroom that is entirely self-indulgent, unnecessary, and just stupid. And so
Eleanor Roosevelt's probably just rolling over in her grave.
Yes, spinning. We have a microphone there. Let's check in. Well, there you go.
And it is a little, I don't know if it was on purpose, but it's a little ironic that the East Wing is where all the first ladies made history and did their work and all of those things. And it's just a little, to me, ironic that that's being demolished, because that feels like that's going to happen on a bigger scale for us ladies. But I also am tired not only of that, but I'm tired of the arguments about, well, you know, Obama built a basketball court and has some remodeling done and all these things. And I want to just point out two things here. When you remodel your kitchen, you don't tear the whole house down. Also there were some structural issues that had to be addressed that, he spent a lot more money on refurbishing that building because there were infrastructure problems with it on an old building you've got to address. So it's a little tiring to hear the whataboutes. I call them the whataboutes people. It's like, just God.
What about sunrise? What about rain? What about all the things that you said we were to gain?
Enough already. But
Nixon put it in a bowling alley. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but again, you don't tear down. Yeah, anyway, I don't want to get. Now you're going to get me all
Well, you know, my only point is that those kind of things need. It seems to me they should get some kind of consensus. You should consult people. You should tell people, here's what I'm thinking of doing. What do you think? Let's talk to Congress. Let's get some kind of consensus. No, let's just do it because I feel like it.
Yeah.
And that's not his place. That's not his house. So he's like a guy renting, but he's not even paying rent. And he's in there, and if you had a rental house, how would you feel if some guy knocked your garage and part of your house down to put up a tennis court or a swimming pool? They don't have the right to do that.
No,
I know it's corny, but it is the American people's house.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Yeah, I think I'm going to drive down to Mar-a-Lago and knock down some of his crap.
Yeah, you be careful. Be careful with that, Mr. Peeping Tom.
It reminded me, though, and it's funny you would mention Eleanor Roosevelt,
because there was a place, and I'm my hometown is Bend, Oregon, down in Central Oregon. Little town that was about 12,000 people when I was growing up. It's 10 times as large now. But in 1917, they built this, whoever did, built this wonderful big hotel made out of pine logs and river rock, and it was called the Pilot Butte Inn. And it was built in 1917, as I mentioned, kind of a rustic sportsman's lodge. And in 1972, this beautiful building was listed on the National Register of Historic Places, but yet it was demolished the very next year, in 1973. It was kind of a Swiss chalet-style place. And indeed, as you mentioned, Eleanor Roosevelt, she actually stayed there once. And I remember with my dad, we were driving past the Pilot Butte Inn one time, and we saw the actor Richard Boone standing out front of it because he was in town to shoot some episodes of Have Gun, Will Travel, which is an old TV show.
Paladin, Paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, Paladin, far, far from home.
But this place was the center of Ben's life.
Have Gun, Will Travel, reach the card of a man.
And they were unable to meet fire codes. I guess there was a lack of will to save it. But it's very much like East part of the White House to me, is that they just did it overnight before, you know, groups that wanted to save the hotel could quite get their act together. They hurried to knock it down, and it was too late by then. And it reminded me of that and how sickening I felt about all of that. This Pilot Butte Inn, if Bend had saved it, it would be the Space Needle of Bend. I mean, it'd be a place where people would come to look at it and marvel at it. And it was knocked down and it's gone forever.
Take me to the pilot for control.
So much for the pilot.
Take me to the pilot of your soul. Take me to the pilot, be me to the tame. Take me to the pilot.
Okay, enough about that. I'm sorry. You wanted to bring something else up.
Yeah, I read a little blurb, and I'm not sure exactly all the details around it, but that's it just caught my eye because apparently the North Korean regime is apparently launching a crackdown on breast augmentation. They're calling it bourgeois capitalism, and so anybody who gets fake breasts, it's bougie and anti-socialist. So they're starting to now actually try women, put them on trial for doing these breast augmentations, saying it's rotten capitalist ideology.
So you're saying it's kind of tit for tat.
Exactly. Yeah. But there's no tit. It's just tat.
Oh.
It's titless.
Yeah. So, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just so crazy the amount of authority and control they have over women there. And it's like, oh man.
Yeah, isn't it great that the government gets involved in all of that
personal
business?
Until then I started thinking, wait a minute, are these guys gonna now all of a sudden go, hold on, wait a minute, what are we doing? We're not letting women get bigger boobies? That's absurd.
And soon coming to America.
Who thought of this dumb rule? But anyway, so I just thought that was interesting that the government's cracking down on booby implants. So make of that what you will, but it'll be coming to a city near you in America shortly.
How my mama said, whatever you think, it's all in your head. Might as well think as big as you can. And since it's you's on my mind, I'm thinking big now all the time.
Hey, a couple of weeks ago, CNN, I watched this morning show on Sundays. Jake Tapper is the host. They were teasing that this Jake Tapper guy had an exclusive new interview with President Trump. And he said, it's exclusive. I love that, you know,
TV networks and stations love to talk about exclusives. Like, nobody else has this interview. I got it. We're better than anybody else because we got an exclusive and you other guys didn't get it. And so I'm thinking, oh, this will be interesting. He's got an exclusive new interview with Trump. Here's the audio from that morning a few weeks ago.
Hello, I'm Jake Tapper in Washington, where the State of Our Union is praying for peace. We begin with breaking news, my exclusive new interview with President Trump on the prospect for a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas. The president answered my questions on text about his hopes for this nascent deal. I asked him, what happens if Hamas insists on staying in power in Gaza? The president said, complete obliteration. Then I said, I assume you saw that Senator Lindsey Graham interpreted Hamas's response as a rejection. The president said, we will find out, only time will tell.
Okay, so now,
wow.
Texting is a form of an interview. You think you're going to get a sit down with the guy and video back and forth. He's just texting back and forth. And that's an exclusive news interview with the President of the United States.
Other questions on text, still waiting for a response on those, Mr. President.
I thought, man, that is really lame. Really?
So weak.
Isn't that weak?
So weak.
It's so weak. But they can't even get access to him in a normal way. So we'll ballyhoo that we have an exclusive text interview. That speaks for itself. I have nothing more to say about that.
All right. One more thing I want to bring up. Can I bring up something else?
Oh, will you stop?
I don't know if you heard about Amazon Prime had decided to remove, they like airbrushed all the guns out of the James Bond promotional images, the posters. They took them out. They airbrushed them all out because they were trying to be a little more family friendly. Yeah. And
James Bond movies are great family entertainment.
Yeah. And they had, they airbrushed them out and the fans just, all the fans had a litter of kittens about it. So they quietly put them all back, which goes to show. And this is why I'm telling you, you need to write these letters, Pat, because if you just share your outrage, things, you can make things happen because now the guns are back. But I think it's very funny. If you do go online, I'll try to add some of these images on our podcast page.
Good.
Of the images of these Bond characters. Somebody said it looks now that they don't have any guns, it just looks like they're making a rude gesture. They didn't change the pose at all. They just took the guns out. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I thought it was very funny that why in all the money and expense they went to.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you trying to do here? Just stop it. Stop trying to manage people's emotions. If they are upset there's a gun in the promotional thing, then they can just be upset. You don't have to try to make them happy.
Because you can't make everyone happy.
No.
Okay. There's some other things I wanted to bring up. Some questions I had for you, Lisa. Like, if I had a dollar for every time I leave something unfinished.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a fine line between a hyphenated name. But I don't have time for all of that. So,
okay.
And I also failed you in that I did not prepare a joke for this morning, for this podcast.
You didn't fail me. You failed the four listeners.
So what I thought I would do is play a joke that I used to love as a kid. I had it on a recording. There was a guy named Orson Bean that was not really a comic, but he was a comic actor. He was on game shows a lot and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so this was a long joke, which, you know, I like long jokes.
Yeah.
This was the joke that he told on a recording that I had on a record that I had as a kid.
Okay.
So here it is to close out our podcast. A man named Orson Bean.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew once went out for recreation. And they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got lost out in the woods, the nights grew dark and lonely. And at last all of their food ran out, except a piece of bologna. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving. For if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said Maloney, whoever has the nicest dream, who wins the piece of bologna? The following morning when they awoke, a quarter after seven, one of them said, I had a dream, I died and went to heaven. St. Peter met me at the gate, riding on a pony. Now I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the baloney. The other one said I had a dream too, and mine was a world beater. I also died and went to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. He rushed to me, held out his hand, he said, hello, Mahoney. Now I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the baloney. The Hebrew said, I'm dreaming too. It's a dream that couldn't be sweeter. I seen you both go up to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. I waited and waited and waited around, and I got so lonely. I didn't think he was coming back, so I got up and I ate the baloney.
Through a glass eye of home, there's no one danger zone. Take me to the pilot for control. Take me to the pilot of your soul. Take me to the pilot, take me to the chain. Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger.
For listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.